Wheeland Presley Funeral Home and Crematory, a proud supporter of WQPT, has been serving Quad City families since 1889. Now providing live stream capabilities for viewing your loved one's funeral or memorial service at their chapel in Rock Island.
After the protests, plus advanced work in hearing and communication is now possible in the cities. Augustana College is expanding one of its oldest programs on campus, and the students coming out of its speech-language pathology program may be needed now more than ever. More on that in a moment. But we start with the fight for equal justice. This was a summer of rallies that were sparked by the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis police custody. There was a call for equal justice, police accountability, the Black Lives Matter. But the issues don't go away even though the rallies aren't being seen. Our first guest knows that all too well. Augustana College's Dr. Monica Smith is the college's first vice president for diversity, equity, and inclusion. Part of her job is to make sure that student voices are heard and that change is not ignored. You saw the protests, the rallies, everything that happened, and then you don't really see them now. How do you move the effort forward?
Sure. Well, actually, the effort has been continuing to move forward. It's not just the protests and the rally. I think what tends to happen is when there is when we as a community experience something like we've seen with the George Floyd death, Breonna Taylor, and those sorts of things, people then begin to take to the streets to actually protest the actions that they're seeing, right? And so I think what tends to happen is the work of diversity and inclusion, the work of racial justice, the work of civil rights becomes more public at those times. But there has always been, for years, for decades, there's always been work towards social justice and civil rights activism. I think sometimes the energy is higher and we get to see it together as a nation. The other thing I'll say about that, though, is that there are communities that are continuing to protest. They're at community council meetings. They're at their various mayor's offices. They're doing this work on the ground on a daily basis. And again, I think the situation that we're in with the pandemic and so many people being at home, we got to experience the traumas that many communities are experiencing on a daily basis. And so the rest of us were enlightened in some ways about those situations and got to view the responses.
I think you're absolutely right, but Dr. Smith, you deal with the youth. You deal so much with kids on campus, and oftentimes they're more idealistic than the rest of us. And you almost have this feeling out of sight, out of mind. That only adds to the frustration that they might have that real change isn't occurring.
I think for the younger generations, yeah, I mean, those of us who were of age in the 50s and 60s and, you know, 70s when civil rights were very public and at the highest, I think sometimes we recognize, we already know that it takes time, that this is a journey, right? That it's not a one and done kind of thing. It's not gonna happen overnight. I think the good thing about the young people that I work with here at Augustana is one of the reasons they choose Augustana is because of our commitment to social justice. And so they have expectations that we are going to work toward making an America and the world a more just place. And so I think it is easy for them to sometimes lose heart and to be very disappointed when they experience, they view things that are happening to people or they experience in themselves. But they recognize also that justice is a framework and the activities continue and we all have a hand in making this world a better place.
Your position with diversity, equity, and inclusion is relatively new at Augustana. It's about 2 years old, of course. And what did you, as a person who hasn't been in the Quad Cities a long period of time, what did you see in the Quad Cities over the summer? I mean, what's your impression of what happened locally?
Yeah, so I spent most of my summer actually back home with family, but what I was able to see on the news and in the paper was very similar to what was happening across the nation, that community members came together around a shared interest, a common interest, and passions were ignited to bring attention to injustices that were occurring. And this summer, that injustice was racial injustice, right? And so people want to come together and have a unified existence and a unified experience to push against policies and push against actions that continue to oppress certain members of our communities. And so I was impressed with what I saw in the Quad Cities. I was not surprised, though, because my experience in the Quad Cities has been one where there's, you know, this is a community, right? And I think many people understand what it takes to make a community as best it can be. And I think we're all aspiring to be the best that we can be.
I think it's interesting also that in the Quad Cities, you've tried to help open up the dialogue and discuss about different forms of justice, not only, as you said, racial justice, but also healthcare justice, environmental justice. Those were a couple of the topics that I saw that you were opening up discussions about. I thought that was interesting, environmental justice and, of course, healthcare justice. There are certain elements of our society not being served equally.
Yeah, well, and in my work, we talk about equity rather than equally, right? We want to make sure that people have equal access to services and the social goods that society has. And because of that, we have inequities that occur. And basically what I mean by that is that people don't have shared access, and that leaves disparities. And so there are healthcare disparities. You think about the statistics around those who have been the most severely impacted by COVID-19. Many of those deaths are in Black and brown communities. You think about those who don't have access to preventive health care. And you can think about any range of health care, from dentistry to prenatal to maternity care, all of those sorts of things. People don't have the access that's necessary to live well. And so, yeah, we have to think about justice in a number of ways. Every service that a person needs to live well, if they don't have access to those services, then there's an injustice occurring.
There's a discussion that you were having that I found fascinating as far as the title is concerned, because we're in a predominantly white community, a predominantly white campus that you're on, and you had an ongoing discussion called How to Learn About Racism, Violence, and Hatred Without Asking Your Minority Friends. That is an excellent question and a wonderful discussion to have.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, one of the beauties of Augustana is that we're a campus that's ready to do the work, and we're ready to have some of those really hard discussions, those discussions that are taboo still in many institutions and in many communities. But Augustana is ready for that. And so what we recognize is that while people want to learn how to do social justice and they want to learn what are the dynamics around injustices, there's also the realization that asking those questions of people who are targets of those same injustices is placing another burden on those individuals. And we want to release that burden. We want to relieve that burden. We want to reduce it for people. And so it is important for non-Hispanic whites and others to understand where they can go to for that information, where they can go to for those resources. People need to do their own work. And it is not, the burden cannot fall on those who are targeted to educate others. I think there's an important, an interesting dynamic too, that for those who are marginalized, and we'll just continue to talk in this vein of race, for those of us who are marginalized because of our race, we have a good understanding of what injustice looks like and how it's perpetrated on our communities. And it's interesting that while we're not the perpetrators, we understand it well and navigate it every day, and then to request that we also educate people around that is it's an additional burden. And so non-Hispanic whites really have to do the work to understand, right, how the dominant society, those who have always had access to goods and services and power and influence, how they often perpetuate, as a population, perpetuate injustices.
There, of course, is that issue where people say, okay, Black lives matter, but all lives matter. You hear that more and more right now. What do you say to that?
Sure. I'll try to think of only a few things to say to that. Of course, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement is an emotionally charged movement, but it's also a movement that recognizes that Black lives in the United States have not had equal quality of service, equal quality in terms of value in the United States. I mean, the institution in the United States that Blacks were able to fully participate in was the single institution that was created for them, and that was the institution of slavery. And so for us to participate in education, government, law, healthcare, right, all of these other institutions, we had to fight for that. Not just advocate, but actually fight for that. And so it's important for us to recognize as a nation that because Blacks were once considered three-fifths human, we were devalued. And because we had to fight to enter into these systems, we're still fighting for that full humanity. And so to say Black lives matter is not about saying other lives don't matter or don't matter equally. It's calling attention instead to the distinct oppression and the distinct overreach and brutality and death of Black and brown people at the hands of police. It's also calling attention to the oppression, to the discrimination that exists in other institutions. And so I don't think people should be threatened by that term. We know that all lives matter. Because each of us have survived the birthing process, we are due the dignity and the respect that all human beings are due. But that's not been the Black experience in the United States. And so Black Lives Matter is to advocate for a similar access and similar set of circumstances for Black and brown people in the United States.
We have seen time and again some real positive messages being heard since this summer, but also some real ugly ones in society as well. Did that surprise you?
No, that doesn't surprise me. We've got to consider our history, right? And we've never reconciled our history. Again, being able to have Black and brown people involved in our social systems was a fight. I mean, we went to war over this. The Civil War was a fight about the right to either hold people or not hold people, no matter how we want to describe that and how history, you know, how some talk about history and want to change that. It was about whether or not people could continue to be held. And so we went to war about that as a nation. We've never reconciled that. And so we've talked about race, we've talked about ethnicity, we've talked about discrimination, and we've had laws that have changed. But the hearts and minds of people have not changed. And so I'm not surprised. We've never reconciled it, and we need to get to a point of reconciliation in our nation.
Dr. Monica Smith, Augustana Vice President for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Still ahead, teaching the next generation of specialists the new developments that are opening up the world to people who have troubles communicating. But first, going out and about. Well, that's something we haven't been able to do lately, at least since March. The pandemic has made us rethink ways to still enjoy ourselves when we have some free time. Laura Adams knows that, and here she is with a virtual tour of what's out and about.
This is Out and About through August 31st. Gilda's Club welcomes ABC correspondent Amy Robach, a special event August 28th at 11:30 a.m. Or catch a virtual Recycle the Runway fashion show featuring outfits created from recycled clothing, August 27th at 6:30, benefiting Dress for Success. The Body, Mind, and Spirit Expo takes place the 29th from 9 to 5 at the Riverfront Event Center in Clinton, Iowa, while Renwick Mansion hosts the festival, a school drive, on August 22nd from 5 to 11. Tickets are $20. Sip, sample, and shop your way through Shops with Hops in LeClaire. Enjoy samples from the best craft breweries on the 22nd starting at 3 p.m. Or check out all of the performances coming to the Rhythm City Casino starting with a legendary tribute to the Cars and Bon Jovi the 21st beginning at 8. The Irreverent Warriors Silkies Hikes are a series of therapeutic events for veterans using humor and camaraderie to heal the mental wounds of war. Join them the 22nd at 7:30 a.m. at the Dillon Memorial Fountain in Davenport. Thursday Night Live musical entertainment at Circus Speakeasy begins every Thursday at 7, while the Black Box Theater presents the 39 Steps, a live radio play August 20th through 30th. Safety protocols are in place. And enjoy WQBT's virtual screening of Ken Burns Presents The Gene, An Intimate History, followed by a 45-minute talk with Charles Darwin, August 26th. For more information, visit WQPT.org.
The Quad Cities is all in this together. We take care of one another, because that's who we are. So mask up, wash your hands, stay informed, and continue to support our QC businesses. We rally together while staying apart, so that in time, we can get back to the very best version of the Quad Cities.
It has been hard for local musicians to go out and about, and that'll be changing someday. Some venues are now already reopening under new rules. The River Music Experience is bringing back its Live at 5 concert series. You can check out the details at the RME website. But let's hear from one of those musicians writing her own material and taking the stage to perform it. Charlotte Boyer performed some of her own original work on the stage of the Black Box Theater in Moline. Here's Charlotte with Beginning to Feel the Blues.
I remember when we were little kids, eating Lunchables and watching The Incredibles, but there ain't no more lunchtime to be had. Juice box is always empty, and the playground is trash, and the playground is trash. Now I'm beginning to feel the blues, I'm beginning to feel the blues, I'm beginning to feel the blues, I'm beginning to feel the blues. Riding on skateboards along the parking lot, playing hide and seek till it got dark, dancing to the MJ CD, but now my friends don't want to jam with me. Now I'm beginning to feel the blues, 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 I'm beginning to feel the blues. People change and people run on, but still my life remains the same. People move and people grow up, but still my life will never change. I'm beginning to feel the blues, 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 I'm beginning to feel the blues. 'Cause things are not the same as they were before, and they are not my friends anymore. Things are not the same as they were before, and they are not my friends anymore.
Charlotte Boyer from the Black Box Theater with Beginning to Feel the Blues. Augustana College just spent more than $3 million renovating Brodahl Hall, home to the college's speech language pathology program. It's part of the college's efforts to train the next generation of speech pathologists and audiologists. It's also home to the college's speech, language, and hearing center, the oldest college clinic of its kind in the nation. We were joined by Dr. Allison Haskell, professor of communication sciences and disorders. Dr. Haskell, this new graduate program, what is it going to allow you to do?
Well, we are so excited that we just started welcoming our first cohort in our two-year program. This will allow us to, of course, fill the need. There's a large nationwide need for speech-language pathologists, and also that's true here in the Quad Cities community. We also have a clinic that where we serve individuals with speech, language, and learning difficulties, and we've had that for several decades. And having our new graduate students will allow us to serve even more individuals. So
absolutely,
there's some wonderful benefits for the Quad Cities.
Well, yeah. And I want to get to all of those things. First off, I love the fact you call them cohorts. What is a cohort? I've never heard that before.
Oh. A group of individuals that goes through the same experience at the same time.
Okay, well, I mean, that makes sense. It's just like the word cohort. It's just used in a different context. Augustana, as you were pointing out, has had a communications program for quite some time. You know, people are looking for new careers. People are looking for areas where it's expanding as far as jobs are concerned. It looks like you're filling a niche that's really needed.
Yeah, well, in difficult times, often careers in healthcare and education tend to be good options, and speech language pathology is kind of in both of those areas. So, absolutely, I think there's a lot of interest and definitely a lot of need for this.
Well, and let's talk about the need because it is a wide spectrum of ages. Let's start with youth because, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just getting to the heart of speech issues, you also deal with autism and other issues as well because it all kind of comes together in ways that a lot of us don't realize.
Yeah, really, individuals with communication disorders truly, as you indicated, span the lifespan. We have, we work with 18-month-olds who might be having difficulty establishing their first vocabulary. Again, like you mentioned, children on the autism spectrum who have difficulties with that social aspect of communication. And we also serve adults. We serve individuals who have disfluency or stuttering issues, voice concerns, individuals who maybe who have had a stroke and have difficulty using sentences and having memory deficits sometimes as well. And individuals who have trouble with feeding and swallowing, just really affects all ages.
Well, and let's be honest, I mean, the baby boomers are getting older, and so the need as far as for the older adults is actually growing. And are you seeing that as well? Is that with an aging population, with the problems of strokes, as well as other issues that affect people that are a little older, that the need is growing?
Absolutely. For all of the groups that you mentioned, in addition to individuals who might have age-related hearing loss as well, and we at our center also serve individuals with hearing loss.
I was going to say, because not only is it speech, it's also audiology, as it's called. I mean, you really do deal with an awful lot in this department, and I want to talk about the master's program in a moment, but I mean, tell me a little bit about it all kind of comes together, whether it's speech or hearing, those issues. You talk about autism, you talk about the strokes, you talk about all these things. It really becomes one major area that your people, your students, your cohorts, so to speak, learn to help people adapt.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and for adults, you know, communication is necessary in pretty much every profession. And of course, in the school years, so much of the curriculum is language and reading based. And for the little ones who are just establishing communication, it's really critical. So yeah, there's just so many different ways that we work with people who have challenges in communication.
We're talking about the new master's program, but you also have a new facility. Brodahl Hall, actually on the Augustana mm-hmm. campus, got a multi-million dollar renovation. What is that going to allow you to do now?
Oh, wow. Well, we've always had a pretty good space to do our work, but now where we have the capacity to serve more individuals, we had a major technology upgrade. We have the ability to do kind of what I'm doing now. Our students can wear earbuds, and we our faculty supervise them as they're providing therapy in our clinical program and can do real-time coaching. So that's a wonderful capability. We also have some technology available to help individuals who have certain types of voice disorders. We have ultrasound technology that we can use to help with individuals who have trouble producing speech sounds. So these were all things that our new space allowed us to do. In addition, just kind of the composition of the space is very conducive to the work we'll be doing now with our graduate program. We have a lot more conference rooms. We have, in the clinical side, improved audiology facilities. And also, we have a sensory room for individuals on the autism spectrum. Just all sorts of great things, and lots of meeting spaces, which, of course, now that we're trying to space out more as we welcome students back to campus, we just have a lot of areas where we'll be able to do that.
Master's program, what does that allow? Because, you know, does that allow for more teachers or more research?
Both, yes. In speech language pathology, a master's program is really the expectation for working. And so, previously our students who went to Augustana in our pretty large undergraduate program would all go away, and now they have the opportunity to stay on, or others from outside can come in for our graduate program. So that's just so exciting for us, and now we get to, you know, do what we have been doing for many, many years and continue that and kind of see it through with our students, where we used to have to say goodbye after their undergrad degree was done.
And that certainly is a huge step for Augustana as well as for your students. But I want to talk about, and I hate to save it for last, but maybe the best to save for last, and that is your mm-hmm. ongoing speech, language, and hearing clinic. I'm sure it's the pride and joy of yours, as well as the college campus, and the fact that it is the oldest in the nation of its type, and how it really does help the people in the community.
Yeah, we have been doing this for almost 80 years in our clinic. It's as you said, one of the oldest in the nation, and it's really kind of evolved through the decades too. We used to have a residential summer program, for example, and we've just sort of, as needs in the community have changed, we've kind of evolved with that. For example, in more recent years, the understanding about autism spectrum disorder has grown tremendously, and that is a very large part of our caseload. And we have staff who have specialty training in areas like that and others. And so it's just been it's been exciting to be a part of something with a rich tradition, and now to be able to take it kind of in a new direction with the addition of the master's program is just such a joy.
All right, thank you so much. We appreciate hearing about it, and good luck. I mean, in the middle of COVID-19, you now have this facility as well. You're going to try to make the best of both worlds. Dr. Allison Haskell, who is also Communication Sciences and Disorders Chairperson at Augustana College. On the air, on the radio, on the web, and on your mobile device, thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.
Wheeland Presley Funeral Home and Crematory, a proud supporter of WQPT, has been serving Quad City families since 1889. Now providing live stream capabilities for viewing your loved one's funeral or memorial service at their chapel in Rock Island.